Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to 3R Petroleum second quarter 2021 earnings conference call. The presentation will be led by Ricardo Sawini, CEO, and Rodrigo Pizarro, CFO and IRO. The other members of the management will be available during the Q&A session. We inform that this conference call will be broadcast exclusively through the webcast platform over the web and will be presented in Portuguese. Additionally, the English version of this conference call can be accessed through the webcast with the simultaneous translation feature. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements that might be made during this conference call relative to the company's business perspectives, projections, and operating and financial goals are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the management of 3R Petroleum, as well as on market information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not a guarantee of success. They involve risks and uncertainties. Those depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors may also affect the future results of the company and may lead results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Ricardo Sawini, who will start the presentation. Sawini, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. It is a pleasure to welcome all of you for our earnings conference call. Let us speak a little about what we have achieved in the second quarter of this year. We reached some important landmarks, such as the acquisition of Papa-Terra field, an offshore heavy oil field in the Campos Basin. This is the second asset of 3R Petroleum offshore. I'd like to remind you that we had already signed the concession of the Peruá-Canguá cluster in offshore Espírito Santo, and we should start operating at that field next year. With that, we maintain what we have been communicating to the market. In other words, a balanced portfolio with onshore and offshore producing assets with both oil and gas. Even in the petroleum offshore portfolio, we have assets with both types of hydrocarbons, and we expect a significant production increase in our offshore portfolio and to expand our replacement of reserves. This is totally aligned with our strategy to replace our reserves. We have paid, or better, we committed to pay a total of $105,600,000, with 85% of that linked to the performance of the asset itself. The second important landmark of our operation last quarter is the startup of operations of 3R Petroleum in the Recôncavo Basin by closing the operation of Rio Ventura, or eight oil and gas fields in the Recôncavo Basin in Bahia. What we intend to do in this cluster is to replicate the very successful strategy that we applied in Macau, i.e., to revitalize and redevelop the fields. We have many opportunities in this cluster in the Recôncavo Basin. I would also like to remind you that we are about to take over the operations in a second cluster in the same geological context, the Recôncavo cluster, a little bit more to the south, but in the same region. That will allow us to have full integration among those 22 fields, eight fields of Rio Ventura and 14 fields in the Recôncavo cluster that will be operated, capturing a lot of synergies for the company. I am delighted to underscore that we started operating at the beginning of July, as we had committed to do in the previous quarter. The third highlight is the structuring of our debt. In Q2, we engaged the banks in a firm guarantee regime to structure a debt of 1.6 billion BRL. Our goal with this funding is to pay the debt we had for a specific asset in the Macau cluster of $130 million. With the proceeds, we will make the necessary investments in the operating assets of our portfolio. We intend to pay the installments committed to Petrobras for the acquisition of the assets that we have acquired already. As regards current operations, particularly for Macau cluster, we can see on the chart in the top right-hand corner of the slide, we can see we had a very strong operating performance in Q2. We were able to increase production to a daily average of 4,800 barrels of oil, not to mention gas production, up more than 5% over the previous quarter. So we continue on our trajectory to increase production at Macau cluster, very much in keeping with our plan. This positively impacted our financial performance, which helped by factors external to our production, cyclical factors, led to a 15% increase in our revenue. Our second quarter revenue totaled almost 153 million BRL, another significant growth, which in turn also impacts the result of our adjusted EBITDA for Q2 2021, which is 12.5% higher when compared to Q1. So our EBITDA in Q2 was 89 million BRL. Well, here on slide four, we give you what we have been showing in recent quarters, all of the assets that we are operating or that we will start operating in the coming months. We can see that here in the south, there is an addition of a new asset, Papa-Terra, in the deep offshore area in the Campos Basin. With that, we already have seven clusters signed with Petrobras. Seven cluster deals signed between Petrobras and 3R in those synergic clusters that we have always mentioned in the Potiguar Basin with the three clusters. One of them we are already operating, and in the other two, we are preparing quickly to start operating them in the coming months. Fazenda Belém, a heavy oil cluster in the state of Ceará, in the offshore gas cluster of Pescada Arabaiana, all in the same geological context of the Potiguar Basin. As I have mentioned, the Recôncavo cluster in the Recôncavo Basin, more in the south of the Rio Ventura cluster, where we are already operating. We are also at a fast pace to take over the operations of the Peruá-Canguá cluster. It is an offshore gas project, an offshore gas platform in the Espírito Santo Basin in the maritime portion. With all of these clusters, we already have an operated production. When we add the current production of these clusters, also without our operatorship, but the total production, considering the clusters that we are operating and those that we will soon start operating, it is close to 37,000 barrels of oil equivalent, with almost 25,000 barrels of oil equivalent referring to the working interest of 3R. Like I have said before, in addition to preparing quickly to take over these operations, we continue to actively participate in the divestment program of Petrobras. As you all know, we are participating in some opportunities both onshore and offshore, and we expect that some of these processes will come to fruition in the second half of the year. We're very happy with our performance, particularly in the Potiguar complex, in the Macau cluster, as well as the start of operations in the Rio Ventura cluster in the Recôncavo Basin. We have a very efficient management in the revitalization of these fields, and we're getting ready. Actually, I can say that we are already prepared with a seasoned team of executives who took over the leadership of offshore projects. We count on a team that we are very proud to have on board, a very strong team to handle the offshore operation as well. Now I'll turn the floor to Rodrigo Pizarro, our CFO and Investor Relations Officer. Please go ahead, Rodrigo.
Thank you, Savini. Good afternoon to all. It is a pleasure to be here with you in one more earnings conference call of 3R to discuss quarter results. Here on the slide, we see all of our acquisitions done through the divestment program of Petrobras. The two main highlights, which are subsequent events of Q2, are the closing of Rio Ventura and the signing of the contract of Papaterra. For Rio Ventura, on July the 14th, we paid the equivalent to approximately 177 million BRL, which added to the deposit during the contract signing, total $59 million. We still have pending this contingent payments and deferred portion of $16 million 30 months after the closing, and $43 million pegged to Brent performance, and which will start to be accounted for 12 months after the closing. The second highlight is the acquisition of Papaterra on July 9, acquired by 3R Offshore. This is a very strategic asset for 3R, and Savini will discuss this in more detail momentarily. For the stake that belonged to Petrobras and is in the process of being transferred to 3R Offshore, which corresponds to 62.5% of the asset, the amount of the deal was $105.6 million. Of these, $6 million have already been paid as a deposit on the signing of the contract, and we have still pending $9.6 million to be paid on the closing of the deal and another 11 contingent payments. Of these payments, as we mentioned in our material fact, five installments are pegged to production reaching certain accumulated volumes in a range that varies from 11.7 million barrels and 39 million barrels of accumulated production, to be measured between January of 2022 and December of 2032. These parameters will start being calculated in the first 2 years and will start being accounted for and can be paid until December of 2032 at the latest. The remaining five installments, which are linked to the operating performance of the field over that same time frame, in other words, between January 2022 and December of 2032, will start being accounted for in the first 2 years and are related to minimum production parameters in a 12-month moving average of 14,400 barrels of oil per day up to 31,500 barrels of oil daily in that time frame. Lastly, there is a contingent payment solely linked to the Brent price. It will start being measured and calculated after the closing and can be accounted for until December 2032. When and if the six-month moving average of the Brent is greater than $65 per barrel, we will pay that last installment of $15 million to Petrobras. Well, now I'm going to give you more detail on the acquisition of Papaterra. As Pizarro mentioned, we had an acquisition totaling around $105 million following the payment schedule detailed by Pizarro just now. The acquisition is being done at a very low entry multiple by estimated reserves. I take this opportunity to say that we are in the process of certifying the reserves, but we haven't received the final certificate of reserves yet to share with you, but we will have it soon. Another important point is that the cash generation of this asset already belongs to 3R since July of this year, since last month. So this is also something very important in the company's economics. And it's also important to say that about 60% of the estimated value for abandonment of wells and facilities of this asset, well, these costs will be shared with the current operator, i.e. Petrobras. So to give you some numbers, this asset is quite large, as we can see in the map in the lower part of the slide. Papaterra is in the south of the Campos Basin and close to Peregrino Field and the Maromba area. But we are talking about a volume of oil in place that is quite high, almost 2 billion barrels, of which Petrobras and Chevron, the former operators, I'd like to remind you that Chevron is also in the process of divesting. Well, the two former operators reached a very low recovery fraction, about 2.5%. And here we have a lot of room to increase the recovery factor of this field in the Campos Basin. Current production of the field is close to 20,000 barrels of oil equivalent, which is the daily average for the first half of 2021. I'd like to remind you that our stake is 62.5%. As we had mentioned before, this is the second asset in the portfolio of 3R Offshore. And we have another offshore asset, Pescada Arabaiana, in the Potiguar Basin, in the maritime portion. But operationally, we are maintaining this in the onshore portfolio, given the obvious operating synergies with the Macau cluster. So at 3R Offshore, we have two assets under the leadership of Maurício Diniz, whom we introduced to you in the previous call. And the assets are Papa-Terra field and the Peroá-Cangoá cluster in Espírito Santo. With these volumes of oil in place and with the low recovery fraction or factor, we have here a huge possibility to replace, replenish, and increment our reserves overall, achieving traditional recovery factors for heavy oil in the Brazilian offshore, which can range from 10%-15%, and this is what we are going to pursue. Again, we haven't got a reserves certification yet, so we haven't got targets to disclose to the market, but we definitely have a lot of room to increase the recovery factor. We will also focus on operating efficiency. Taking over from Petrobras, our goal is to significantly reduce the lifting cost in the asset, both by increasing production and also by reducing total OpEx of both platforms. I'd like to remind you, as we see in the scheme on the bottom of the slide, that we're talking about two platforms which are somehow connected, P-61, TLWP, and P-63, which is the FPSO. As a reminder, this system has an installed capacity of 140,000 barrels with a current production of around 20,000, as we mentioned. So we have a lot of potential to grow production. We have 340,000 barrels that can be treated with water injection, and that allows us to apply redevelopment techniques for mature fields, which we will definitely use in Papa-Terra. Currently, we have nine wells in operation, six producing wells, three injection wells. We are designing now the best development and redevelopment plan for this field, with new drillings to come for sure in the next few years. In a nutshell, we have a great ability to revitalize this asset, to align it with our full portfolio, both onshore and offshore. On slide seven, again, talking about our current operation at Macau cluster, we'll speak about our operating efficiency. As you can see on the graph on the right, we have had around 35% increase in production since we took over the operations in the end of May, beginning of June of 2020. We started operating with 3,600 barrels of oil, and we have achieved, I can say, we ended July producing around 4,900 barrels. We have reached a plateau above 4,800 barrels for a few months now, but maintaining our trend to increase production, a trend which is somewhat slower right now. But here to explain this, we are in the process of building our processing plant that will give us full independence from Petrobras in the Potiguar Basin. This plant will allow us to handle oil-water separation in the asset, water injection for secondary recovery projects at the fields of the Macau cluster. And this will enable a new growth cycle of production capacity. With that, I'm not saying that we are not able to increase production even further without the conditioning of this plant, because we do, we can. We still have room to increase production capacity at the cluster. But of course, with the plant conditioning, which should happen next year, we will have an additional capacity to increase production significantly. also through more water injection projects for secondary recovery at the reservoirs of the Macau cluster, both secondary recovery and water disposal. But undoubtedly, our main focus is to inject water in the reservoir. Another important point, which is the first bullet item on the slide, we also increase the efficiency through the automation of wells. We continue with our well automation process, reducing downtime, as we mentioned in previous calls. We are very happy with our performance, and more, this cluster is quite well automated. Now, what does that mean? Well, every time a well stops producing, for whatever reason, we learn about it immediately. We act immediately. And downtime periods today last very little compared to previous months and even years. And in the last graph on the bottom of the slide, please note that quarter by quarter, one can clearly see production increase at Macau cluster. And we can say, as we have said before in the previous quarter, that we were able to reverse the production declining trend at this cluster. And we are already producing as much as Petrobras used to produce in 2017. And our intention here, as you all know, and as expressed in our reserves certification, is to continue to increase production and to get back to those levels close to the historical production peak at Macau cluster. Well, we talked about Macau cluster. We mentioned Papa-Terra cluster. And here on slide eight, we bring you total production of 3R, considering the share of the seven assets acquired, some operated by us as Macau cluster. We have already 35% of production from Pescada Arabaiana cluster. We are now preparing to take over with 100% working interest of this asset in the Potiguar cluster, as we call it. But I'd like to highlight in this chart, looking at the last bar, you can see we already have a rather balanced production. If we do a mental math and add the production of onshore clusters, and here I'm considering Pescada Arabaiana as onshore, although it is an offshore cluster. So when we add the Recôncavo cluster with the Potiguar complex, we are talking about a little over half of our total production of these assets coming from onshore and a little less than 50% of production from offshore assets belonging to 3R Petroleum Offshore. So you see, Papa-Terra cluster will be our biggest producing asset with our share of around 8,000 barrels, considering current production without the revitalization effort. So this will be an important cluster. And I also highlight the importance of Recôncavo cluster, which is in dark gray, with almost 5,000 barrels produced. So we already have in our portfolio a production of around 20,000 barrels, including assets operated by us and those being transferred to us. And when we do the split, roughly 65% of the total represents oil. We're talking already about a production of 16,000 barrels of oil and a daily production of around 1,373,000 cubic meters of gas. In other words, 35% of our total production is gas. And I stress that we always mentioned that we wanted to have a well-balanced portfolio, balanced here in terms of being exposed to both types of hydrocarbons, oil and gas. And the current split is 65% oil, 35% gas. With that, I turn the floor back to Rodrigo Pizarro. Go ahead, Rodrigo.
Thank you again, Savini. Here we present our financial result with successive increases in the last four quarters in both revenues and adjusted EBITDA, driven both by higher oil production at Macau cluster and a more favorable oil price curve. We ended the second quarter with net revenues of 153 million BRL and an adjusted EBITDA totaling approximately 89 million BRL. I'd like to remind you that only the results of Macau cluster and 35% of Pescada cluster
are represented here. Please remember that cash generation from Fazenda Belém since April 1st, 2019, from 65% of Pescada since January 2020, and now Papaterra since July 1st, 2021, will be all calculated by Petrobras. However, will be deducted from the pending payments to be settled on the closing date or from those contingent and deferred payments. Our lifting cost at Macau remains a benchmark in the Brazilian market. We obtained $6.25 of a dollar per barrel of oil equivalent. We had in this quarter an impact of approximately 25 to 30 cents of a dollar on account of a higher energy cost, particularly in the last 2 months, with the so-called red flag, a higher energy tariff charged. And here I always like to stress that the gas-to-wire project, which is in the process of being implemented and should be completed in the beginning of next year, will help us reduce this, which is one of the highest cost items impacting the lifting cost of 3R. Lastly, regarding our CapEx, we maintained our workover activities at Macau. We haven't started the drilling process, which is planned for the end of next year. And we started to get prepared for the Bahia operation, mainly equipment related to communication, safety and security, and for the Rio Ventura control room, in addition to measurement equipment and the first pumps and instruments that will be part of the plan to change the elevation system of some of the wells. Moving to the last slide, we present a summary of our priorities. As regards the strategy, we continue to assess onshore and offshore opportunities, always focused on an adequate capital structure and returns compatible with our corporate thesis. As for the existing portfolio, we are implementing redevelopment and revitalization plans for the assets that we are operating already, such as Macau and Rio Ventura. Regarding the operation, our focus is on the transition transfer of assets and on continuous improvement of efficiency and availability of the system, what we call reduced downtime, and a constant focus on the operating safety of these assets, Macau and Rio Ventura, under our operatorship. As for ESG, the revitalization DNA of 3R is already closely related to broad mitigation of environmental impacts by reducing gas emissions, by deploying the gas-to-wire project, and by reducing disposal of fluids in subsea outfall in a broad secondary recovery strategy with the reinjection of water produced in the reservoirs, which was not done by the former operator. Under the social pillar, resumed investments in these municipalities also generates a positive impact, creating jobs, income, and taxes paid, which has become a reality at Macau and Rio Ventura. We also created a working group led by our corporate officer, Hugo Repsold, to lead all 3R initiatives around governance, social, and environmental aspects. We will be talking about this in more detail in the next quarters. Last but not least, as regards our financial aspects, we are focused on increasing cash generation at Macau and Rio Ventura clusters after the revitalization of the fields and increased production at Macau. And now, with the first reactivation and workover activities, and to replace the elevation system at several wells in Rio Ventura, we hope to observe in the next 2 quarters an increased production at those fields. I stress one more time that cash generation by Pescada, Fazenda Belém, and Papaterra will help fund part of the acquisitions. And to end, as Savini mentioned in the beginning of the presentation, we are structuring a new debt to complete the acquisition of assets whose contracts have already been signed and to reinforce our cash, both for investments and to be able to move ahead, move forward, and take advantage of new opportunities. Thank you very much. And we will now begin the question and answer session. Our executive committee is all here available to answer your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Savini and Pizarro. Now we will initiate the Q&A session. First question from André Leonardo from Itaú. Despite the production in Macau increase substantially since the company took over the asset, we saw an almost flat production between March and July. Could you give us some light about the expected production curve for the company in the next coming months?
Thank you very much for your question. As I said during my presentation, we are in the midst of the construction process of our separation plant, oil and water, and this will certainly increase our capacity to manage, gross production, to separate oil and water, to inject water, and to increase the project of secondary recovery. And the commissioning of this plant is what will allow us to drill in the fields of the Macau cluster. And with this drilling, we intend to increase our production, as you can see through our business plan. However, as I already mentioned during my presentation, every month we've been posting some small production increments, and we certainly have further potential to increase our production going forward. So, in fact, we already have July production. We're already indicated to a new level of production increase. That means that we certainly should continue to post increases in production and the reactivation of wells that have been stopped and also workovers throughout the next half year. So we do expect to increase production, but this is not yet the big leap in production that we will only reach once we start our drilling campaign. The second question, also from André Leonardo from Itaú. Can you give us an update about the closing of all of the assets that have been already signed with Petrobras?
We are working diligently with our transactions with Petrobras. There are many fronts occurring at the same time. In this second half, we should start operating in almost all of the assets. Obviously, Papa-Terra is a closing that will only occur in 2022. Fazenda Belém, Pescada Arabaiana, and in Rio Grande do Norte and Ceará, both states, and the Recôncavo cluster in Bahia, these are operations that should be resumed in the second half, most likely between October and December. The offshore clusters between October and November, and the offshore still depends on a segmentation or the breakout of the contract. So the outlook is for December. And the Peroá-Canguru, there is still a chance for us to start operations in late December, but most likely it will start in January. But we are working very diligently towards that transition. And even for the last cluster we signed, Papa-Terra, which will occur in the midst of 2022, we are already working very hard. We have a dedicated team working on that. Therefore, I say that we are getting prepared to operate both clusters with these two platforms.
Thank you. Next question from Pedro from BTG. About the ramp-up of Rio Ventura cluster, even though it's still too soon to tell, would be nice if we could have some color about the startup of the cluster. Is it performing better than what was expected, or it's in line?
Thank you for the question. I would just like to give you an update. Here with Rio Ventura, we started with a 100-day program, which is being put in place by our team. It's very related to the first program we had in Macau, and that consists in the activation of wells that were non-operational with no intervention in the wells. We only with surface work, we can reactivate it. There are about 10 to 12 wells under this condition, and there is also another range of wells that were producing with the system of gas lift. And for these wells, we intend to replace the elevation system with centrifuge pumps that have been acquired and they are now being replaced. And I think this process should last
for about 120 days. So for both programs, both the reactivation of wells and also the replacement of the elevation system, with all of that, we hope to have a very good increment in production and something very much in keeping with what we had in Macau. And by the same token, the drilling process should also take place in approximately 18 months from this date, which is the necessary timing for technical people to refine the development plans, to get more acquainted with the reservoirs, and then get ready for a well-executed drilling with a very targeted objective. Now, just to add to Pizarro's answer, I would like to highlight that in Juventura, the team from Pedro Vihau, our onshore team, he said that in the first day of operation of 3R in these set of fields, right at the first day, we already had a workover rig in operation. And I'm very proud to say that because this is not common. And in fact, this was a very important accomplishment from our onshore team. Next question from Pedro from BTG. During your release, you talked about sharing costs with Petrobras with the decommissioning of Papa-Terra. Should we expect any kind of improvement related to efficiency vis-a-vis the current levels? Can we have any quantitative expectation about that? Well, Pedro, thank you very much. Just to reinstate the point, in Papa-Terra, just like we did with Pescada da Baiana in Peruá, our concern with decommissioning is even higher on onshore assets for natural reasons. And this is one of the main goals we had throughout the negotiation. That was a very extensive negotiation. We set up a spectacular target of $126 million that will be reimbursed from Petrobras. And this is very similar to what happens with other abandonment agreements that we have in our portfolio, because regardless of the amount we use or the amount we spend to conduct the abandonment of a well or a platform, like in the case of Papa-Terra, we received a fixed amount. So yes, we can have some positive surprises, and we believe that there is about 15 to 20% of opportunities to reduce costs further for abandonment, be it because of scale, meaning that we would hire for a decommissioning in sequence, not only Papa-Terra and Pescada da Baiana, but also due to the fact that more and more the contracting market are becoming more experienced in bringing more efficient solutions to the market. There is a question coming from the webcast from Kellerton. Good afternoon. Should 3R increase the amount of barrels in Papa-Terra? As I said before, we are still undergoing certification process, reserves. And therefore, we are usually very cautious before we can say anything to the market or give any outlook to the market. But the answer is yes. Yeah, we do have the possibility to increase production, and that's our intention. So we are now looking at several possibilities for development and redevelopment of this very large asset. As I said before, the recovery factor is still very low. This is a field of heavy oil, and usually the recovery factor is usually lower than the average. But despite all that, Papa-Terra still has a very low recovery factor. That's why we intend to deploy that recovery factor. And with that, we will certainly increase production. In the next coming months, we will release the certification of reserves, and this will become clearer. Just to add what was said before, and as I was saying during my presentation, from our daily production targets that are linked to our contingent payments, they reach up to 1,500 barrels. So if we reach that amount or this daily production, we have an associated payment of contingent installments or payment. And even for the seller, this is a very feasible target. And also going, answering that other question, if we could have any positive surprise, well, this is something we can not say anything about it yet, because this is a contingent process conducted by the auditor. Well, I think a positive surprise is that we will have our first certification of the Papateja asset. So that in itself is a surprise, and this will be a good addition to our portfolio of reserves. Next question from Andre Leonardo from Itaú. A few weeks ago, it was announced that Chevron sold its stake at Papateja to a subsidiary of NCI Energy. Has that potential buyer contacted 3R, and whether they are aligned with the company's strategy for that field? Thank you for your question. We already had some preliminary discussions with the buyer of that Chevron subsidiary. At first, the interests are very similar. Increased production, revitalization of the field, so, and also to use that idle capacity that all of the installed systems in Papateja have. And as we usually say, there is an enormous amount of wells that could be added to FPSO or TLWP. There is some processing idle capacity and the allocation of oil, and all of that facilitates any redevelopment plan in Papateja. But sometimes this is not feasible in an offshore field, and it's very common to look at the Brazilian market and then find opportunities. But sometimes there are limitations regarding processing, but this is not the case in Papateja. Now we have a question from Bruno from Morgan Stanley. Now, thinking about assets of companies ex-Petrobras and offshore, do you believe that there are still many available assets in the market? Is there anything that draws your attention, maybe in terms of geological upside or better science opportunities, or in line with the potential of the company? Well, looking at the assets and opportunities, both onshore and offshore, we identified both in the Brazilian market and also abroad some targets. I wouldn't say that they are short-term targets, but today we're still very much engaged in the divestment process of Petrobras. Of course, that any ex-Petrobras opportunities can be analyzed, and we are evaluating those, and there could be some unfoldings in the next coming half years, but there are certainly some good things that could allow for tieback or could also allow us to use that out of capacity of Papateja, but it's still too soon to give you any detail. Another question from Bruno, Morgan Stanley. Taking into account your experience in Macau, do you intend to do things differently in Juventude? Do you think the markup is better than at Macau? The strategies are the same, but proportionally speaking, in Rio Ventura, we can do more when compared to Macau. In Rio Ventura, we took over the operations with all the facilities in place. They are part of the deal. Therefore, we are independent, and therefore, we can certainly apply our strategy freely. So my answer is yes, we can even overperform when compared to Macau. And there is another question here about Macau's production, whether we can increase that production. According to our reserve certification, which is our business plan or very close to our business plan, we hope to double that production. And this is what is in our certification, and we continue to pursue that plan. So the answer is yes, we still intend to increase Macau's production. in this specific case, and this is the only case that when we have that need, that's why we have to recommission a plant that is under construction, which is for separation of oil and water. We have two very similar questions coming from Itaú and BTG about M&As in Brazil, opportunities for M&As, whether you see some progress in the divestment assets from Petrobras, and how is 3R positioned? Naturally, we cannot get into details about each one of these processes, but I would say yes, 3R is actively participating both on onshore and also offshore assets, be it through consortium or independently. In terms of onshore, 3R, from the very beginning, since it was incorporated, we've always thought about the day when Petrobras would start selling larger assets. And many of these assets depend on steam injection that, by the same token, are linked to gas consumption. So I would say that 3R is one of the very few companies that is now very well positioned in the onshore market in Brazil. And this could certainly be a differential in one of these onshore assets that are put that have been put for sale by Petrobras. Next question from Pedro from BTG, also about lifting cost at Macau. Well, lifting cost in Macau increased because of costs related to power. Could you just refresh my mind and tell me how much that represents in the total cost of the cluster? Is it the same ratio vis-a-vis other onshore assets? The idea is to understand that level and whether the level should be maintained throughout the second half of 2021. Very good question. Thank you. About Macau's lifting cost. Power energy accounts for 25 or 30% of the total lifting costs. And this varies on a monthly basis, but this would be an order of magnitude. We had an increase of about 30 cents of a dollar due to the higher tariff charge vis-a-vis the previous quarter in terms of energy costs, right? And I always like to reinstate that we are working hard to restructure our gas to wire, which is energy generation through gas. And this is another very positive aspect of 3R, particularly in onshore, because we have the opportunity of generating cheap energy. This process is in progress and will help us to reduce our cost of energy significantly once it's ready. This project is in the commissioning phase, and I think that the positive effect will be felt as of next year. For the following quarter, maybe, I think we're still operating with a red flag, so this effect of higher energy costs may linger for a little bit longer. I don't think that we will feel any greater impact because we are now in the gradual effect, but we are still increasing production. Therefore, I think that we will be in a very similar level, and we are very proud of what is happening now because it's a benchmark in the market. And just adding to your question, yes, we can establish a parallel between the cost of electric generation, of energy generation at Macau, vis-a-vis the other onshore clusters. There is a correlation between the ratio of that cost. And also, in terms of our strategies, we intend to pursue the same strategy, which is to generate our own energy. This is one of the cost factors that are most important in terms of offshore. And still speaking about lifting cost, we are still paying that processing fee for gross production, and all the water and oil that we produce, we pay an amount for the treatment of that barrel, be it water or oil in Macau. and this will be stopped once we have the conclusion of our separation plant to separate oil and oil. And this cost impacts in 13% our lifting cost. Another question that we received through the webcast. Good afternoon. Given the relevant participation of Peroá and Papa-Terra asset with 47% of current production, what is the actual lifting cost of these offshore assets? Do you have any defined strategy to update that amount? And congratulations for your results. Thank you, Fernando. Today, we still have a view of what has been given to us by Petrobras, but both in Peruá and Papa-Terra, we are making progress in our discussions with the subcontractors. Peruá is an asset where things are much clearer given the timing because we are now in this transition period for much longer. And apparently, we've been having only positive surprises with a significant reduction in the production cost vis-a-vis what was posted by their previous operator. So at least in Peruá, we are very pleased with the negotiations thus far, posting very lean costs and eventually even lower than what was posted in our reserve certification. And with that, we conclude our Q&A session, and I'll turn the floor over to Savini for his final remarks. Thank you very, very much for your attention and for your interest in the company. I would like to take these final minutes to mention a date that is very dear to us. Today, we celebrate 2 years since the signing of the agreement with Petrobras to acquire the Macau cluster. Therefore, this is a very important date for the team, is a landmark for us and for everyone else that supported us, all the law firms, banks, etc. We're very proud of what we accomplished. And looking back, I mean, 2 years later, we've gone a long way. We did an IPO. We had a very quick follow-on. We got enough funding for the company. The company has a very robust capital structure today. We put together a team of excellent professionals in all aspects, you know, excellent technical people, admin people, both onshore and offshore. We are increasing our production, and clearly we are on a path towards growth and revitalization of the fields. And if you allow me, you know, I would say that we are very hopeful that we will be able to revitalize some regions that were dormant in the Northeast, but we are working there very proudly. Not only 3R, but other companies are following on the same trail. And this quarter, we start posting very relevant financial results. And with that, I'll give the floor to Pizarro for his final remarks. Thank you, Savini, very much. It's really a great honor. We're very proud to be here after 2 years of the signing of an asset that today accounts for the majority of our financial result, which is the Macau cluster, and that's our first Brazilian track record, our first pilot in Brazil. But all of that was only possible due to the vast experience of our technical team. Every executive in the company has long experience, and this is exactly what we're doing at 3R: production, revitalization, and the implementation of techniques that are well known in the world, but until then, they were not so much deployed in Brazil, given the exploratory success of Petrobras. And today, as Savini said, we are posting solid revenues and a good income to local communities. And our intention is to continue to bring good returns to our investors. And to that end, we will continue to focus both in the revitalization of our current portfolio, and at the same time, we will look for other opportunities that are consistent to our investment thesis, consistent in terms of ESG and also consistent in terms of the financial side. We do not intend to be an expensive asset into our portfolio that does not make sense to us. Therefore, all of our acquisitions go through a very diligent evaluation that take into account many financial aspects so that they can add value to our portfolio. So that's all. Thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope to see you again in our next quarter with more information about 3R. And with that, we conclude our earnings release call, and I wish you all a very good afternoon. Thank you.